that they're creating. NorthamptonSurvival.org.
This is Bill Newman, WHMP.
Under the headline in a recent edition of the Republican newspaper, Scott Lively runs for governor. The article by Stephanie Barry says this: whatever your views on Scott Lively's philosophies, it would be hard to argue he's cowed by controversy. The anti-homosexuality pro-life evangelist, who is currently being sued by a Ugandan civil rights group for crimes against humanity, has announced he's running for governor. Some of his platforms are predictable given his previous public statements: stop public funding for abortion, repeal gay marriage, and help homosexuals, quote, repent and protect Second Amendment rights. Scott Lively, welcome back to the show. You
good to be here.
Have a campaign brochure that you've put out in which, among other questions that you pose or answer, you say this: I expect to be asked by reporters what I think my prospects are for winning this election. To which I reply, it would take a miracle from God for Scott Lively to become governor of Massachusetts, and I wouldn't want it any other way. Why do you think that there is a snowball's chance in, is this okay, Monty?
I wouldn't say that, Bill.
For you to become governor of Massachusetts, really?
Well, really, I mean, all things are possible with God. I mean, there have been bigger miracles than that. I think actually it would take a bigger miracle for me to want to be governor than to actually win.
But so you're running even though you don't want to be governor?
I'm running to advance a biblical worldview in the political arena, which hasn't been articulated for a very long time, and to challenge the Republican Party to stop running rhinos. So
Republican in name only, if you're not familiar with that term.
If I happen to win, which would be a complete miracle, I'm willing to do it, and I think I'd do a pretty good job.
Do you feel that you have been called by God to run for governor?
Well, you know, that's a loaded question, obviously, but I feel that, in fact, that was my question to the Lord this spring. I do an annual hike on the Appalachian Trail, personal retreat, and that was my question, and I prayed about that and listened, and I believe that the answer that I got was that it wasn't his idea, but I had his permission. So I've gone forward, and then as things got I got more agitated with Massachusetts policies and things going on in the rest of the country, I decided, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do it, because no one else is going to say the things that I will say in the political arena that I think need to be said.
Well, one thing you say in your brochure, Scott Lively, is this, and I'm quoting: the Massachusetts Republican Party is solidly controlled by moderate to liberal, quote, progressives, end quote, and the Democrats are virtual communists. Yeah. Why do you say stuff like that? And do you really believe it?
I do believe that, yes.
Okay. What are virtual communists? Like, they play one in a video game?
Well, I phrase it in that particular way just to raise the question so I can explain it. And that the way I define communists in a modern context are really, they're cultural Marxists of the Frankfurt School type, and not the sort of Soviet.
I've been called many things, but never
a Frankfurt.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Frankfurter.
What do you mean by a cultural communist? What are we talking about?
Well, you of all people should know the Frankfurt School history, Herbert Marcuse let me explain it from my perspective, from a biblical perspective.
Yeah, I'll ask you to do it briefly, because then I want to get into your ideas about how to make Massachusetts more Christian, which I think is the heart of your campaign, but we'll come back to that in a second. You want to explain Marcuse, please?
Well, just cultural Marxism, just the idea that Marx built his theory on evolution, actually looked at society, said that humanity is evolving toward an eventual utopian socialist order, but it's going to take so long to get there. We need to destroy what exists now and build on the ashes, and we'll create our own utopian system now. Right? That's what Marxism has always been about: taking down the existing, basically Christian culture, and replacing it with a Marxist.
I thought it was taking
or
it down
could be
the
Muslim culture,
or the capitalist
culture.
Well, it was framed in terms of capitalism. That's where Marcuse and the Frankfurt School come in. So they shifted the emphasis away from economics and towards social policy, and they thought that the quicker way to be able to bring down the the existing order was through sexual immorality and not through the economics. And they shared the communist perspective on economics as well, but the focus was on social policy.
What do you like better about Jesus's brand of socialism than Marx's?
Well, Jesus's brand of socialism is all it's volitional. Marx's is coercive.
Uh-huh.
That's the difference. What Jesus tells us to.
But isn't an elected system also volitional? Like, we would vote for the things that we want in the same way that the disciples chose to live that way and put the pieces together to continue to live that way?
Yeah, which only really works ultimately is if you have a standard, a law above the law that people agree to, and therefore you can have a Bill of Rights and not have majority rule where the cannibals get to pick the next victim out of the crowd and nobody gets to say it, you know, and they don't get a say in it.
Well, if you agree with those restrictions on government authority, why do you want the government to claim that abortion is murder and, I assume, prosecute women and doctors for having abortions when they decide that that is something that is necessary, appropriate, or in consistent with their values and morals and or necessities of life? That said, you would have the government impose your moral view, your political view, that life begins, I take it, at conception, that we have a fertilized egg, that's a life, and therefore you want your view to be imposed on others by the government. So how does any of this, how's that consistent with what you just said?
Well, my focus is on the baby. I mean, it's a human being that...
No. You say it's a human being. A lot of people think it's a fertilized egg.
Well, let's find a compromise position. Go at, you know, 2 months into the pregnancy, right? Let's go to the point where there's a heartbeat and little tiny fingers and fingernails and all of that. Let's just focus there. That's a human being. And another person, the mom, doesn't have the right to kill another human being. That's all.
So do I hear you correctly that you would support the right of women to terminate a pregnancy up to 2 months?
No, but
1 month?
But for the sake of...
1 month?
No, I believe it's from conception. I think that life is from conception. But that's
your personal religious view.
And then if you took it
that's science.
There's some biblical basis to say that if a man spills his seed on the ground, that he's as guilty as not letting life happen there as well. So then but there's the potential for conception lost.
But that's not the biblical.
How many
position.
Steps back do we? The biblical position is the missionary position, I believe.
Well, actually, you would be surprised in Christian families that there's probably a wide range of sexual.
We'll leave
enjoyment.
That aside for now.
Yes.
Just finish this for us in terms of so we can understand what you're saying. You're saying that a fertilized egg is a human life. That's your religious belief. I don't share that belief. I don't share that religious
and
belief.
And other Christians don't believe it to the same degree that you do as well.
It's science. I mean, it's science.
Lots of scientists don't believe that, too.
Well,
there's a myriad of opinion on it.
On lots of topics there are. But, you know, the fact is that from the very beginning, from the fertilization, there is an independent human being with separate DNA, that nothing changes from the time that person is conceived except growth. If you don't interrupt that growth, 9 months later, out pops a little tiny baby, right? There's nothing that changes. The DNA doesn't change. It has the same blood type, all that right from the very, very first spark.
Do you want abortion to be outlawed again in Massachusetts? Do you want doctors and women who have abortions and doctors who perform abortions to go to jail or prison?
I would prosecute abortionists. Yes, I would. I think anyone who deliberately kills an innocent unborn child is guilty of murder.
What about the woman?
Well, it depends, I suppose, on the state of mind of the woman, whether she actually knows what she's doing or whether she's just simply... if a person who doesn't actually...
Let's say it's volitional. She's doing it. This is a mistake. I can't afford the child. I was raped. Any number of reasons that a woman might choose to have an abortion. You're saying, assuming it's volitional, she's quite competent. She makes this
difficult decision. I don't know what a penalty might be, but yes, a person who kills another human being is accountable for that action. Now, there's various different levels of homicide, as you know, as an attorney. It doesn't all amount to first-degree murder, but
yeah, yes. Great. It could be manslaughter, and you get 20. Let me ask this. Another part of the candidacy that you have as an evangelical is essentially, as I understand it, to return Massachusetts to Christ. Do I have that essentially right? And what do you mean by having the Massachusetts government become Christian?
Well, I think we had a Christian cultural consensus a few generations ago. I think the current sort of cultural perspective is fairly new, and is fairly radical compared to what our grandparents and great grandparents would have believed.
So. Well, I have a question about that, because you say in your campaign literature, Scott Lively, mostly they, meaning we in Massachusetts, need a leader who will remind the people that Massachusetts was founded upon Jesus Christ and the Bible, and that our future security and prosperity depend on restoring our trust in him, meaning God. Why do you, as a evangelical, not have an enormous investment in the concept of separation, of a wall of separation between church and state, because that, of course, is what protects you and your evangelical church or ministry from going about its business? It seems to me this philosophy that you're espousing is at war with itself.
Well, that's a common misunderstanding about what separation of church and state means. At the beginning, when Thomas Jefferson articulated that in his letter to the Danbury Baptist Association, it was all
this skeptical, agnostic Thomas Jefferson. That one,
who actually he was a person I think who wavered back and forth in his faith. I agree, but Thomas Jefferson very much adopted and lived a Judeo-Christian worldview.
Yeah. By owning
while he
slaves?
Was impregnating slaves
and raping his slave.
That was the way of the world in those generations. It's kind
Should
of
we
hard
return to that way as well?
No, don't be doing.
Well,
that.
I just asked you.
Just be fair. That the emergence from the slave owning mentality hadn't really happened then. Now, George Mason, who I think was probably
wait a second. That's not true. There were many abolitionists at the time of the founding of the country and thought this
there
idea.
There were some. George Mason, who I'm just raising.
Right, but this
he
idea.
Wouldn't sign the he wouldn't sign the Bill of Rights. He wouldn't sign the Constitution. He wouldn't sign onto it because it continued to include slavery. So I side with George Mason on that point.
Okay, something we might actually agree with